John Martin Fisher is a University of California Riverside philosophy professor, and he begins an article that he wrote for the school stating, "The fall of FTX, cryptocurrency exchange, resulted in the loss of approximately $8 billion of investors' money. It's unclear that any of them will be made whole or receive a good portion or any of their money back. Maybe they will have lost it all, and with it, their life savings, savings for their child's college education, savings for a car or retirement and so forth is all gone. The suffering is mostly hidden from public view, but it certainly is there." And you could say that the former FTX CEO, Sam Bankman-Fried, is the crypto Bernie Madoff, as it appears that knowing wrongdoing, greed, and deception were at least parts of the reason for FTX's downfall. Continuing on with the article, he writes, "Despite the unfathomable pain of more than a million investors, Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, you'll see that in news articles that just go by his initials, Sam has largely avoided taking responsibility for his actions, deflecting much of the blame on the clients, for in his view, they took unreasonable risks. He has pled not guilty to various charges surrounding the collapse of FTX, even though there's been guilty pleas of former associates within the company. He admits that FTX should have had mechanisms in place for risk management to protect his clients. He claims that the issues that brought down his empire were unintentional mishaps, not intentionally wrongdoing. In a New York Times interview, Sam concedes that he screwed up and that he failed to fulfill his responsibilities as the CEO of FTX. He also stated about the time immediately after the collapse and arrest, quote, I've had a bad month. He's been arrested. He made bail. He's closely being monitored. Yeah, I think he's at his parents' house. Now, while this Professor Fisher, he blamed Sam's greed as part of the downfall for FTX, Sam, he blamed his clients' greed. Now, what is also happening within all of this is there's a lawsuit for those who promoted FTX. Perhaps you've seen some of the commercials recently. Tom Brady was one of them. Steph Curry was another, along with Shaquille O'Neal. They all promoted FTX. FTX tried to get Taylor Swift to endorse as well, but she ended up saying no to a deal. In another article from Business Insider, it reports that Taylor Swift asked one key question. She said, "Can you tell me that these are not unregistered securities?" According to the same article, Taylor Swift's dad, her father, worked for Merrill Lynch. So either she had enough know-it-all to ask the right question, or he was asking the questions on her behalf. Her question was basically asking, will the FTX cryptocurrency hold their value? And when she found out that the answer was no, she said no to $100 million. Is what she was being offered to endorse FTX. Tom Brady's net worth is $287 million. Steph Curry's net worth is $160 million. Shaquille O'Neal's net worth is $400 million. And yet, they wanted more. They said, yes, I'll endorse this. Taylor Swift was content with her $450 million net worth. She could say no to a $100 million deal because perhaps to her, this deal, this offer with FTX felt like a get-rich-quick temptation and trap. Now, there may be some of you or all of us here today that would also be content with $450 million net worth. If I had a net worth of whatever, pick a number, however millions, billions of dollars, we would think I would be content. Maybe, but maybe not. Contentment does not come once you reach a certain net worth. That isn't how it works. The world and our capitalistic, consumer-driven economy will always offer you something else that our human nature, if given enough time and if focused on the wrong priorities, will convince us that whatever it is, we need it. We need it. A good question always to consider is to ask, when thinking about purchasing something, is this a need or a want? And unsurprisingly, though, we have the ability to say, whatever that is, I need it. I gotta have it. And Amazon Plus will have it delivered to your door in 2 days. Just pay a yearly fee, and you never have to wait a long time for anything. Contentment does not come when we reach a certain economic level. So, if you are working, chasing, pursuing money, and more money, in order then to be one day be content now that you have enough, I've got bad news for you. Or maybe it's good news. The bad news, which is really good news, is that you can be content right now. Right now, in this moment. Contentment is possible no matter your economic level. The bad news is that contentment is also elusive no matter your economic status. Contentment, simply defined, is choosing satisfaction. The reason why a person can be content right now in this moment is because that person is choosing to be satisfied right now in this moment. In the book, Never Enough? The mirror question is, how much is enough? With the answer being, enough is what I have right now in this moment. My current car is enough. My house is enough. I am satisfied with the clothes that I own. Now, certainly objects break down and will need replacing or repair, so that's a little bit different. But what we see when it comes to money is that contentment can come at any time. Because contentment is a choice. We are choosing to be satisfied with what God has provided for us. And we are choosing to focus on God's presence in our lives. We can be content in this moment because of who God is in this moment. Hebrews 13:5 states, "Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you." Quoting from the book Never Enough, Ron and Karen write, "A discontentment perspective seeks answers to heart questions in material solutions. Expecting that more of something external will solve internal struggles. A contentment perspective recognizes that what I have right now is enough, and that God's presence and power answers my heart struggles, fueling my ability to be satisfied with my current circumstances." You see, God fuels our ability to be satisfied with our current circumstances. Where does discontentment come from? Ron and Karen surmise that it comes from when people look to material possessions to solve internal struggles. When we do that, we will always be discontented. Only God is able to provide for us peace and security and hope and joy and love. And those things, only those things are able to reach in our inner depths of our human nature, meeting our internal needs in ways that material possessions just do not have the power or the ability to do. At times, it may feel like our possessions are able to satisfy us, but that would be only for a moment, only for a short period of time. Eventually, people realized the discontentment was always there. It was just buried beneath all of the stuff that distracted us or numbed our feelings. Contentment for our lives is really important, especially when we think about money and possessions. Because we learn in verse 6 of our reading that godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm going to look at some of those gains for us here this morning. And the first one is that we gain perspective. The starting perspective, ones that we've talked about in previous weeks, is we already know that God owns it all. But a perspective that we gain in this passage is that we can take nothing out of this world. Did you know that if you were to go to a Wisconsin State Park this summer, there are rules of what you can and cannot gather? Here are the rules. Some of them I've highlighted. The rules state, in order to preserve the state park's natural beauty for others to enjoy, you cannot remove natural growth. You cannot collect wildflowers. You can't even collect rocks. It is as if the Department of Natural Resources wants you as a visitor, as you're visiting their park, to be content with the beauty at the park. The moment that you were to take any of that beauty home, then it's not there for someone else or for you if you were to go back. And while your home has that beauty, once whatever that object is actually taken out of the context of the greater beauty, it loses some of that appeal. Verse 7 says, we can take nothing out of this world. If a worldly possession does not satisfy us in the next life, no need to think that it will satisfy us in this life. Now, again, some of our possessions do bring joy, but it's a time-limited joy. If we can't take anything with us once we die, then the perspective is, how important is it, really? Second, we gain in our expectation. Verse 8, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Well, it's not in the verse, I'm adding shelter and access to health care. So the verse here is just sort of listing basic human needs, with food and shelter, or food and clothing being two of them. Food, clothing, shelter. Those are kind of expected. And it's hard to be content at times with just the basics. For so often we desire more and more. We want food, we want clothing, we want shelter, we want a trip to Disney World or Hawaii, or we want to go backpacking in the mountains in Europe. We want Sunday brunch at the restaurant. We want our $6 latte at Caribou. We will be content when we get a new car every 5 years, or a flat screen TV, a 40-inch flat screen TV, a 60-inch flat screen TV, and then we go to the neighbor's house. Now we want an 82-inch flat screen TV. Billy has new golf clubs. Now we need new golf clubs. We are content when we replace the old shotgun with the new shotgun, or get rid of all of the shotguns and let's buy a new sewing machine and new furniture. Contentment comes when we have an addition on the house, when we buy a lake cabin, when we go on the African safari vacation. We desire more jewelry, a bigger kitchen, an electric pellet grill that's also a smoker, and on and on and on we go. Now, if I didn't list something that offended you, my apologies, I was really trying to. Side note, I'm preaching to myself. God, what's the message that you have for them? And God says, oh, by the way, Joel, it's for you too. Now, none of what I've listed is inherently wrong or bad to have. I have stuff. I have stuff. I have lots of really nice stuff. It may be wrong, but I don't think it is. The question is what is our expectation? Am I choosing to be content right now in the moment with what I currently possess? There is great gain that comes with contentment. And expectation is part of that gain. When we have food and clothing, we will be content. Third, with contentment, we gain protection. Contentment guards us against ruin and destruction. It's there at the end of verse 9. No one need to look further than the FTX story. If you don't like that story, you can read the news tomorrow. There'll be another story of ruin and destruction as a result of individuals or a company's love of money resulting in heartache, suffering, and pain. Or you can read yesterday's news. This came across my phone yesterday. An ex-Apple employee sentenced to 3 years in prison after a $17 million fraud scheme. He wasn't content. Got to do a scheme. Ruin and destruction. 3 years in prison. So we gain protection. Fourth, there's a gain in life's priorities. We are to flee from wanting to get rich, and we are to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Now, that isn't to say that followers of God won't be rich. God isn't against wealth. God isn't against money. God is against having that be people's priority. God may choose to bless people with wealth and money, but that doesn't mean that that is what those people had been pursuing. So this is an important side note. We need not be quick to judge. It may be easy to judge, like, oh, look, they're rich, so that must have been their priority. But not necessarily so. They, the rich people, and I realize too, others looking at me could think, oh, Pastor Joel's rich. They just happen to have an occupation that our society pays a lot of money to do whatever it is that they do. So here's my example. Are professional athletes more valuable than teachers? It's not a trick question. The answer is no. Are teachers going to get paid like professional athletes? No. So those who are wealthy have been blessed by God with the ability and with a great paying job. Not everyone who is wealthy has wealth as their top priority. See, people are, we're going to earn money. What's important, though, is our priorities. And what is happening, has been happening, is happening, is some of these companies, some of these small business owners, individuals are figuring out the way that they make money may also be the way that they pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, and love. Here's an example of this. In Rochester, there's a car repair shop that has the following slogan: we care for people and fix cars. I've seen that a few times, and I thought, oh, isn't that interesting? As a company, their highest priority is not to earn money by fixing cars. Their highest priority is to care for people. And the way they do that is to fix cars. So then I couldn't help but start thinking and wondering, and I had a little suspicion that this company's priorities is being formed by their faith. I wanted to see if I could confirm that thought and suspicion. So I went on their website, and all the different links on the banner that I could click on, there was one that said blog, so I clicked on that, and the top of the blog, there's this title. You can see that it was posted just April 9th, Extra Good News. As I read that, in the story, there's a quick beginning of a story, and then the writer shares, quote, "I have been a follower of Christ since my second son was born. Within 6 months of accepting Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, I took the next step of faith and I believed God was asking me, which was to be baptized. Now, the writer of the blog went on to share how their family has come to faith, and she gave details for her husband and her daughter who were also baptized. And then at the end, she started to invite people, or she just invited people to the church that they attend. It's really quite amazing. This is the business website. And on it, people can see what the priorities are and an invitation to attend church from a person who knows Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. As a business owner, they know that they're going to make money. But their pursuit in life is not money. It is godliness. And they have figured out a way to use their business to do that. No matter the life stage that you are in, whether you are early in your career or mid-career or at the end of your career or are in retirement, when we are content with what we have, our life's priorities is not about the money that we earn or the money that we have earned or the money that we will earn. Life's priorities will be to pursue righteousness, faith, and love. The final gain that we receive when we are content is true life. Verses 18 and 19. Command them, those with wealth, to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. The true life that Paul is referring to is our eternal life. And something really just clicked with me as I was thinking about this and preparing for the sermon, in that our eternal life actually begins while we are here living our earthly life. The moment that we come to Jesus in faith, accepting Him as Lord and Savior, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We will spend eternity in God's presence. And up until this week, my default way of thinking was that our eternal life starts when we die. But it's not true. Since there is no death, since we just move from one existence to the next, our eternal life begins here and now, and contentment helps us gain our true life. You see, these verses point out that life, that is true life, is one of generosity and sharing, not one of accumulating and possessing. Commercial after commercial tells us we need this or we need that for the good life, for the true life, informing us that if we don't have whatever it is that they are trying to have us purchase, either an object or a service, if we don't have it, then we're missing out. Verse 18 command isn't just for the wealthy, but it's for everyone. All people will find true life in doing good, in being rich in good deeds, in sharing, in being generous. Contentment with what we have, who we are, being in God's presence enables us to live our future eternal experience now, which is true life. True life, our eternal life, is being content in God's presence, and we can experience that now. It's easy to think that once we reach a certain economic status that we will be content. Perhaps that was the motivation for so many who did invest in FTX. Unfortunately, that's not how contentment works. Or again, fortunately, that is not how contentment works. This is good news. Today, you can be content. And when you choose satisfaction, you will gain perspective, you will gain correct expectation, you will gain protection, you will gain the right priorities, and you will gain true life. May we embrace all of these gains today and this week. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, for your provision in our lives, for knowing our needs, for meeting our needs, for giving us plenty, and at times, Lord, for being in want. And in those times, proving yourself faithful, moving circumstances around us. So Lord, I do lift up people that are in want. May we perhaps be and have a role in their lives. And as we are in want, be open to the ways that you would work in our life. Help us to be content, God. May we just choose that this day and this week. We pray in your name. Amen.
Fitting hymn here as we close today, open my eyes that I may see. Being generous and being a servant is what it's all about. And so let's stand as we close our service here today. Page 406, open my eyes that I may see.
One of the well-known verses that people know from the Bible is, "For I can do everything or all things through Christ who gives me strength." That verse is being pulled out of the context of contentment. Here's the greater context. Not that I was ever in need or have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live with almost nothing or with everything. This is Paul writing. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. God gives us the strength to be content. That is the context of that verse. Whether in plenty or in want. May you choose that today. Choose to be satisfied with God's strength. Amen.